ATIS, Radio Hangar. You've got Radio Hangar. Real aviation talk, real passion. Let's go. This is ATIS, your aviation news briefing. I'm Tower. We've got a full board today. Pilot mental health legislation moving through Congress. The Air Force finally showing off the top side of the B-21 Raider, and we're going to dig into why Singapore Airlines is still betting big on the biggest commercial airplane ever built. Let's get to it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. All right, lead story. There is bipartisan legislation moving through the United States Congress right now that could fundamentally change how pilot mental health is handled in this country. And if you fly for a living or you know someone who does, this one matters. The bill targets what lawmakers are calling a dangerous culture of silence around mental health in the cockpit. Right now, if you're a certificated pilot and you seek treatment for depression, anxiety, or any number of common mental health conditions, you face a real risk of losing your medical certificate. Not a theoretical risk, a practical career-ending risk. And every pilot knows it. So what happens? Pilots don't seek help. They self-medicate, they hide symptoms, they white-knuckle it through conditions that are entirely treatable because the system punishes honesty. Here's what you need to know. This legislation, which has received support from both sides of the aisle, aims to create pathways for pilots to get treatment without automatically triggering certificate action. The goal is to bring aviation in line with what the medical community has known for decades. Treated mental health conditions are manageable. Untreated ones are dangerous. Now, this doesn't mean the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, is going to stop screening for fitness to fly. Nobody is suggesting that. What's on the table is removing the penalty for raising your hand and saying, "I need help," because right now, the incentive structure is upside down. You're safer statistically flying with a pilot who is being treated for depression than with one who is hiding it. This matters for general aviation pilots too. How many of you have hesitated before checking a box on your medical application? How many of you know someone who has? The culture of silence isn't limited to the airlines. It runs through every corner of this industry. If this legislation passes, it won't fix everything overnight, but it changes the conversation, and sometimes that's where it starts. We'll keep tracking this one. Next up, the United States Air Force released its first official photographs of the B-21 Raider during aerial refueling tests. And for the first time, we're seeing the top of the airplane. On April 14th, the Air Force confirmed that the B-21 has been conducting aerial refueling with a KC-135 Stratotanker as part of its flight test program. Now, for those of you who follow military aviation, you know that the B-21 has been one of the most closely guarded programs in decades. We've seen carefully staged ground photos. We've seen a few shots from below during flight. But the top of a stealth aircraft is where a lot of the design story is told. And the Air Force has kept that under wraps until now. What we can see in these images confirms what many analysts expected, a clean, blended wing body with minimal protrusions. The refueling receptacle is integrated into the upper fuselage in a way that maintains the low observable profile. This is not a bolt-on solution. This was designed from the start to refuel without compromising stealth. Why does this matter beyond the military aviation world? Because the B-21 represents the bleeding edge of aerodynamic and materials engineering. The technologies developed for this program have a way of filtering into commercial and general aviation over the following decades. Composite structures, advanced coatings, integrated sensor design, the B-2 Spirit program that came before. It drove innovations that we now take for granted. Also, frankly, it's just a beautiful airplane. If you haven't seen the photos yet, they're worth a look. Now let's talk about the story I teased at the top, and this one is a fascinating case study in airline strategy. Singapore Airlines continues to operate the Airbus A380 on its longest routes. And if you've been following commercial aviation, you might wonder why. The A380 was supposed to be dead. Airbus stopped production. Airlines around the world parked them, scrapped them, sent them to the desert. The pandemic accelerated retirements that were already underway. The narrative was clear. The era of the super jumbo was over. Except Singapore Airlines didn't get that memo. Or more accurately, they read it and disagreed. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. Singapore Airlines was the launch customer for the A380. They took delivery of the first one back in 2007. They know this airplane better than anyone. And here's the thing. On certain ultra-long-haul routes, particularly between Singapore and cities like London, Sydney, and Frankfurt, the A380 still makes economic sense for them. Here's why. When you're flying routes of 10, 12, 14 hours, passenger comfort becomes a competitive differentiator. The A380 is wider than anything else in the sky. The main deck and upper deck give Singapore Airlines room to offer their famous first-class suites, their business-class lie-flat seats, and a premium economy product that actually feels premium. On these marathon flights, passengers will pay more for that space. And Singapore Airlines has built its entire brand around the premium experience. Now, a lot of other airlines looked at the A380 and saw a 4-engine fuel burden, and they're not wrong. 4 engines burn more fuel than 2, that's simple physics. Airlines like Qantas, Air France, and Lufthansa move toward twin-engine widebodies like the Airbus A350 and the Boeing 777 for exactly that reason. Lower operating costs per seat mile on paper, but Singapore Airlines runs the math differently. When you fill an A380 with high-yield premium passengers on routes where demand supports it, the revenue per flight can more than offset the fuel penalty. It's not about cost per seat, it's about revenue per departure. And on their key trunk routes, the A380 generates revenue that a smaller airplane simply can't match because you can't fit 500 passengers in premium cabins on a 350. There's also a fleet timing element here. Singapore Airlines has invested in cabin refurbishments for their A380s, new suites, new business class. They've poured money into these airplanes because the return is there. They're not flying 20-year-old interiors. These are refreshed, competitive products. This affects you if you're an aviation enthusiast or a traveler because it's a reminder that the right airplane for the job depends entirely on the operation. There is no universal best airplane. The A380 failed as a one-size-fits-all solution for every airline. But for a premium-focused carrier on high-demand long-haul routes, it still works. Strategy matters more than specifications. It's also worth noting in the context of airline economics more broadly. Simple Flying ran a piece this week on 6 aircraft that changed airline economics forever, and while I won't walk through all 6, the through line is this. Every generation, an airplane comes along that reshapes how airlines think about cost and revenue. The Boeing 707 made jets mainstream, the 747 made mass international travel possible, the 757 and A320 made short-haul profitable. The A380 tried to redefine hub-and-spoke economics and succeeded for some operators, even if it failed as a universal product. The lesson for anyone in aviation, whether you fly a Cessna 172 or you run an airline, is that the economics of flying are never static. What works today might not work tomorrow, and what everyone writes off might still be the right tool in the right hands. A couple more items before we close out. Airbus announced leadership changes at the top. The company's shareholders approved all resolutions at their 2026 annual general meeting yesterday. The big news is that Marelada has been tapped as the next board chair, replacing Obermann, who is preparing his exit. For the GA world, Airbus leadership changes matter, because Airbus doesn't just build airliners. Their helicopter division, their defense and space business, and their urban air mobility investments all touch the broader aviation ecosystem. New leadership means new priorities. We'll see where Marelada takes things. And finally, a fun one. There's a company showcasing a double-decker seating concept designed for the Airbus A350 at the Aircraft Interiors Expo this year. The idea is called Chaise Longue, and it's a two-level seat design that promises business-class comfort at something closer to economy pricing. The concept stacks passengers vertically, with the lower level offering a lie-flat position and the upper level providing a standard seat. Now, before you get too excited or too skeptical, concepts like this show up at interiors expos regularly, most never make it to production. The certification challenges alone are significant. Emergency egress, structural loads, accessibility requirements. But the idea is interesting because it acknowledges a real gap in the market. There are a lot of passengers who would pay more than economy, but can't justify full business class fares. If someone cracks that code with a workable cabin design, it could reshape the passenger experience. We'll see if this one has legs, or wings, I suppose. That's the briefing for today. Sources for this segment include AeroTime, Simple Flying, and The Aviationist. As always, links and additional reading are available at radiohanger.com. A quick reminder, Radio Hanger is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who care about getting the story right. Every segment credits its sources, and we're always transparent about how this show is made. If you've got feedback or a story tip, radiohanger.com is the place. I'm Tower, thanks for tuning in, stay current, stay sharp, and we'll see you next time. Radio Hanger, clear skies and tailwinds.